Russian probe. How you like me now, Russian inquiry? How you like me now, Russian collusion? Oh, that's right. It's all hitting the Democrats in the face. Wow, unbelievable what's going on right now with the Russian probe that was supposed to be into Trump and his campaign. And now it's boomeranged back onto the Democrats. We're going to have more of that. We're going to have all kinds of news. You've got Corker basically flopping around because of Trump. You've got Jeff Flake, who's now retiring essentially because of Trump. And it's also being reported that, yes, Jeff Flake is from Snowflake, Arizona. Jeff Flake, the snowflake from Arizona. You cannot make this stuff up. You had a guy breach the White House today and protest Trump throwing out Russian flags. We're going to give you the details on that guy that you haven't heard yet. Pretty shocking that he was able to get into the White House. The stock market continues to make history as Trump is continuing to see the economy boom. Also, 1.5 million fewer Americans on food stamps under Trump. You've got CNN. You know, this is funny. So a year ago today, give me the doc cam here, guys. A year ago today, Hillary Clinton tweets this. Donald Trump refused to say that he'd respect the results of this election. That's a direct threat to our democracy. It's wonderful here. A year ago today, that was the 24th of October, 2016. Here we are in the year 2017. And look at the headlines on Drudge. Guys, back to the doc cam. Dems calling psychologists to talk about Trump mental health. No, they're calling psychiatrists because they have mental problems. Don Lemon weeps on air. Activists scream at sky on election anniversary. And Stevie Wonder performs the national anthem on his knees. So who's not accepting the results of the election, folks? Is it Hillary Clinton or is it Donald Trump? Is it Republicans or is it Democrats? Is it conservatives or is it liberals? Well, the answer is pretty obvious, isn't it? Yes, indeed it is. Weinstein Gate continues to collapse. You've got now James Toback has over 200 accusers. You've got a famous photographer who's now being alleged and being blackballed from certain venues. So we've got all of that. We've got some craziness in the news as well. And then how about MSNBC shooting a special report on Trump's border walls? And then in the middle of the report, a non-citizen hops over the wall. So we'll also have that video as well as some other classics. Protester of Ben Shapiro says that he doesn't like the Constitution. You've got a billionaire Democrat, Tom Steyer, who is spending $10 million on an ad campaign to have Trump impeached. So we'll have that video as well as the announcement today that the House Intelligence Committee is going to be probing into the Clintons' uranium deal. And we'll show you the video of the protester that breached the White House and threw Russian flags on the ground, saying Trump is guilty of treason, as the Russian investigation, which produced nothing on Trump, is now falling back on the Democrats. But before we get to all of that, folks, in the first hour, you're going to have Roger Stone, you're going to have St. John Hunt, we're also going to have Jerome Corsi, and we're going to be talking about the release of the JFK files. What to expect from this? What do we expect to be redacted? What have we seen in the past with document releases similar to this? So you're going to hear from the experts, Roger Stone and St. John Hunt on the other side. And of course, Jerome Corsi as well in the first hour. And then in the second hour, I'll be joined by Candace Owens in studio. And then in the third hour, probably take your phone call. So we've got a stocked War Room show for you today. You can follow us on Twitter at War Room Show for all of our live content. Warroom.show for all of the 10 hours of InfoWars broadcast, InfoWars.com/show, and always InfoWarsStore.com. That's how you support us, folks. Don't go anywhere. Roger Stone, St. John Hunt on the other side of the War Room.
Is the War Room. I'm Roger Stone, and you're at the right place. You're at the War Room with Roger Stone and Owen Scheuer. This is our expanded programming, the brainchild of Alex Jones, and supported by our listeners who religiously and loyally go to the Infowars.com store to support the broadcast. We ask you again to be generous because it's a win-win. We are the resistance. We are the tip of the spear, and we need your support. We don't have a bunch of Wall Street billionaires or foreign oligarchs writing multi-million dollar checks to keep us afloat here at InfoWars. No support from the Ford Foundation or the Rockefeller Foundation or George Soros. We have to depend only on you and your generosity and your loyal support for InfoWars. Owen, I am shocked at the way the worm has turned in Washington. A week is a lifetime in American politics, and with the new revelations about Uranium One, coupled with what we learned yesterday about Robert Mueller getting preferential treatment to be included as a investor in a Soros-run hedge fund, it seems to me that the Democrats' entire narrative seems to be collapsing around their very ears.
Well, we're having the narrative collapse too, Roger, right in front of their faces, but for some reason, their minions don't understand this. I mean, today, you have a guy protesting at the White House, throwing out Russian flags, saying treason. You have Tom Steyer buying a $10 million national television ad campaign, saying we need to impeach Trump. So it's like they don't even care. They're pathological liars at this point. They believe their own lies. And it doesn't matter that the whole Russian collusion thing has fallen back onto the Democrats. They're still moving forward with their conspiracy theories that it was Trump and the Russians.
Well, one big victory today, the very first scalp for the belt of Steve Bannon, Rhino Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona announces that rather than fight for his seat, he will retire. This is going to send shockwaves through the nation's capital. Now, the truth is, President Donald Trump had the opportunity to take out, politically, of course, Senator John McCain in the 2016 Arizona Republican U.S. Senate primary. Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, and others convinced the president that he should do his party duty and, albeit reluctantly, endorse John McCain. He did so. He has been repaid with nothing but treachery from that time. Anyone who has seen some of McCain's recent performances realize that this is a man out of control. Now, Senator McCain's meltdowns, his red-faced temper tantrums, his fits are a thing of legend in the U.S. Capitol. They are well known. But what I notice is the senator gets particularly agitated when you start to ask him hard questions. Why, Senator McCain, did you take $1 million into the McCain Institute from the Saudi government at the same time you, Senator, were opposing the release of the congressional report which outlined the role of the Saudi royal family in 9/11? Why, Senator McCain, did you meet with Oleg Deripaska, a oligarch and Russian money man who is particularly close to Vladimir Putin? As John Solomon with Circa News then reported, now of the Hill, the FBI warned McCain twice that Deripaska was a Russian agent, and McCain insisted on meeting with him anyway. So the mainstream media is right. There was a Republican presidential candidate in bed with Putin soliciting money from Putin. Unfortunately, that was John McCain, not Donald Trump. So Mr. Flake has read the handwriting on the wall. hard-charging State Senator Kelly Ward, who ran a more than respectable race against McCain in 2016, is back for another challenge, and the first rhino has bitten the dust. How many others will look at the daunting challenge being put together by Mr. Bannon and others and decide that the easiest path may be retirement? There is no question that the special election in Alabama was the shot heard round the world. Here you had the candidate who was the closest to Trumpism, but not endorsed by the president himself, defeating the establishment candidate who was only reluctantly endorsed by the president. What does this show? Some would say it shows that the president's endorsement has no oomph, has no power. I think that's the wrong conclusion. What it shows us is that Trumpism is more powerful and popular than the president himself. In other words, people like Donald Trump not just for the man he is, but for the things he stands for. And therefore, this is the most powerful influence in the Republican Party today. I would not want to be a member of Congress, House, or Senate, and be actively opposed by the president of my own party in the primary. But Donald Trump looks to me like a man who is preserving his options. I don't think, as I said in the first segment, that he will unilaterally endorse all of the conservative challengers being recruited by Steve Bannon and his allies, nor do I think he will endorse none of them. But the defeat of just one rhino, the defeat in this case, the withdrawal from Rhino Jeff Flake, has an impact on others still in the caucus who have to vote on the proposals of this administration. Right now, the Senate version of the budget, far more generous, a lot more spending, a lot fewer cuts than the House version of that budget. And lo and behold, the White House is leaning on House members to support the Senate version. When are they going to learn that expanding the swamp is not going to solve our problems? Joining me in the next segment is St. John Hunt, the author, researcher, musician, singer, songwriter, son of the legendary CIA operative E. Howard Hunt. And we'll be looking to Mr. Hunt to talk to us about the import and the impact of the JFK classified documents that President Trump elected to announce he would declassify after I spoke to him last Thursday morning. The deep state is abuzz over what these documents may reveal. They're probably even a bit more of a tizzy trying to figure out how to redact and withhold and hold back as much information as possible. And right now, there are bureaucrats somewhere in a conference room feverishly trying to figure out a way to stop the American people from getting the truth. We cannot let the president's bold, courageous decision be nullified by a bunch of deep state bureaucrats. Joining me later in the program, Dr. Jerome Corsi, who has examined the batch of documents released in July by the National Archives that pertain to the Kennedy assassination, and finds them wanting, finds them overly redacted and with too much material withheld. I'm Roger Stone. You're on The War Room, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Roger Stone, joined by my colleague Owen Scheuer, and you are here at The War Room. This is the expanded programming mandated by Alex Jones. We are on our way to a day when we have round-the-clock InfoWars. But today we're now standing at great live programming at almost 10 hours a day. So you never need to be without your InfoWars fix. Joining me now is a man that I have come to respect as a true Renaissance man. He is not only a brilliant writer and researcher, author of his own books, but he is also a singer, songwriter, poet, and troubadour. I refer, of course, to my friend St. John Hunt. St. John, welcome to the War Room.
Thanks, Roger, very much for having me. And yes, everything you said was true. So I'm happy to be on your show.
Now, thank you. Now, I know that you had millions of viewers only a little while ago when you were on with Alex Jones, but I could not resist the opportunity to have you join me. We're going to take it a little bit differently because you and I have co-authored a terrific book called The Bush Crime Family, now out in paperback and available at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, Books a Million, soon to be available on the Infowars.com store site. And this is the definitive biography of the entire Bush family. Many people are unaware of the fact that the family patriarch, Prescott Bush, made the initial family fortune by financing the armament of the Third Reich, by arming the Nazi war regime, and that federal regulators seized his bank, Union Bank, for treasonous activities during the run-up to the financing of Hitler's war machine. And I think a lot of people don't know that the 1992 JFK Records Release Act, which was signed into law, ironically, by President George H.W. Bush, who felt that he had little choice because of the public clamor that had been caused by Oliver Stone's great movie, JFK, and the earlier revelations of the House Assassinations Committee, Bush essentially signed into law a law that would turn around and expose him as having lied about his whereabouts on November 26, 1963, lied about where he was the day before, lied about where he was the day after, and then, incredibly, said for 30 years he could not remember where he was the day John Kennedy was killed. So we have a terrific piece of scholarship in the Bush crime family, but few men know the actual secrets of the Kennedy assassination in the way St. John Hunt does. If you would, recap the experience with your father at the time of his life that he is literally has one foot in the grave. He is on his deathbed, and that is when you and Alex Jones shocked the world with what you learn.
Well, that's very true, Roger. It was very late in my father's life, and he was very near death. He'd had a lot of complications with pneumonia. He had gangrene in his leg, which had been amputated and worked on two different times. And but there was a little bit of fight left in him. His mind was very clear. His body was failing him, but his mind was strong. And he wanted to set the record straight. I must take some credit for prompting him to do so. In the last year or two of his life, there had been many accusations against my father, saying that he was a participant in the JFK assassination. And I wanted to know if that was true or not. I mean, I felt that I could reach my father on a level that very few other people could. In other words, he's been compelled to answer that question in front of the Senate and the Congress, and he denied it all those times. But when it was just him and I by the hospital bed that he was laying in, he unraveled a story to me about his prior knowledge of the JFK assassination. And this, to me, was a monumental thing that he did. It wasn't out of guilt. I must clear this up. He didn't feel guilty about having prior knowledge or being involved in the JFK assassination. He was proud of his actions. He truly and deeply felt that John F. Kennedy was a threat to national security, and as did many others in the industrial complex, the military-industrial complex. Johnson certainly felt Jack Kennedy was a threat on many levels. So he laid out this information, and we talked about a lot of things. We talked about some of the files that had been taken from him during Watergate, and his blackmailing of Richard Nixon, the information that he had that was just political dynamite, as Bob Woodward described in his book about the contents of his safe. So it was a very long and secretive process that my father and I embarked on to get to the root of the matter. And he passed away before the entire story could be told. But he did tell me enough, and I did as he wished, which was to release the information to the press as best as I could after he passed away. And within 2 months of his death, I succeeded in getting Rolling Stone magazine to unleash the information. Of course, it was passed up by the mainstream media. That was no surprise. But to those that want the truth and know the truth, I feel that my dad was very brave in revealing to me that he had prior knowledge and that he was involved, as he put it, a bench warmer in the assassination attempt. That started the whole show for me as far as trying to understand what the parameters of my father's responsibilities within the JFK assassination were. And I'm hoping with the release of these files in just a short amount of time, I think, Wednesday at midnight or Thursday at midnight, they have 400 pages on E. Howard Hunt. And I don't know if that's a lot compared to other persons in the files, but to me, I'm excited about seeing what's in those files. Because I think it was things in those files that my mother was taking to Chicago, which caused her death. So it's going to be very, very revealing to me, and I'm excited, but I'm nervous about it too.
Well, for those of you who are not familiar, St. John's Hunt Dorothy, about his mother, kind of a companion book to his first book, which was really about his father and the effect of Watergate on his family. Dorothy is a terrific book. Welcome back. I'm Roger Stone. You're here at the War Room, and we're joined by the writer, researcher, troubadour, Renaissance man, St. John Hunt, who I confess right up front is one of my closest friends and a man that I greatly admire. St. John, I am interested in clearing up a little confusion. According to the Associated Press, the document dump mandated by President Donald Trump for full disclosure from the JFK assassination files is said to include your father's super secret diaries. Again, I'm quoting them. There is some belief that L. Patrick Gray, who was the FBI director briefly under Nixon at the height of the Watergate cover-up, burned documents, books that belonged to your father. And it was thought by some that those had been the legendary Hunt diaries. I now believe that what was burned during Watergate must have been an operational notebook for Watergate, and that the deepest secrets of E. Howard Hunt, the secrets that he pulled the curtain up on in his deathbed discussions with you, may well be memorialized in these documents that the president has just ordered released.
Yes, I agree with you, Roger. It's well known that L. Patrick Gray burned two tablets, notebooks that were taken from my father's personal safe in the old executive office building the day after the Watergate burglary team had been arrested by John Dean's orders and given to L. Patrick Gray, who kept them till Christmas that December, and then he burned them. Those were operational notebooks in regards to the various operations and missions that my father had undertaken in his role as the leader of the plumbers, the special investigation unit for the White House for Richard Nixon. But the real secretive stuff was, I believe, there was copies that my mother had, which would account for the tremendous pressure that Nixon felt that Hunt had over him. You can hear President Nixon on the White House tapes ranting and raving about Hunt. He knows too much, and open that scab and it's going to make a lot of people look bad. It's going to make the CIA look bad. It's going to blow open the whole Bay of Pigs thing, which in later volumes by Haldeman and by Woodward and Bernstein, it was a way that Richard Nixon referred to the JFK assassination. He referred to it as the Bay of Pigs thing because it was all related to that. And I believe that in these files, we may just find what it was that that my father had on Richard Nixon, which I believe was Richard Nixon's knowledge of the fact that many members of the anti-Castro assassination squad that my father was involved with and that Nixon approved during his tenure as vice president would come to light, would show that President Nixon was aware that these same assassins had turned their guns from Castro to President Kennedy, and I think that's the least of what we could hope to find in these files, if they are in fact the real files.
I think you've just put your finger on it. We now know what E. Howard Hunt knew, which is that the Central Intelligence Agency had teamed up with the mob in an effort to whack Fidel Castro. Why? When Castro took power in Cuba, all of the known assets of the intelligence agencies were expelled. But because the organized crime families still owned casinos in operation in Cuba, they still had people on the ground, people who could collect intelligence about the Castro regime. There's no doubt whatsoever, as Vice President of the United States, that Richard Nixon green-lighted this effort put together by Robert Mayhew, formerly of the FBI, and elements of organized crime, including Carlos Marcello, Sam Giancana, and others, to kill Fidel Castro. And the thought was that perhaps that some blowback was responsible for the resultant killing of John Kennedy. Now, in my book, The Making of the President, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ, I argue that you had multiple institutions who had individual motives for the replacement of John Kennedy. The Central Intelligence Agency upset about the Bay of Pigs and the Cuban missile crisis. The organized crime upset because they had financed John Kennedy's election. But the Attorney General of the Kennedy administration, Robert Kennedy, was seeking to deport Carlos Marcelo and Santo Traficante in violation of a deal they felt they had made with Ambassador Joseph Kennedy when they gave him $1 million to aid in the election of Jack Kennedy. And then, of course, there's Big Texas Oil. They were unhappy about Kennedy's efforts to repeal the oil depletion allowance. E. Howard Hunt, it seems to me, told us two incredibly important things. One, the assassination was a CIA operation. He was on the ground there himself, although, as he put it, a backbencher. And the most important thing he told you, LBJ was running the show. That is, of course, the theme of my book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy. And I consider E. Howard Hunt one of the foremost authorities on what really happened that day. St. John, I thank you very much for joining us. I know that you had a great interview with Alex Jones. You are a great patriot, and just keep on writing.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Roger. It's great to be seen with you.
All right. In our next interview here, I'm seeking to find Dr. Jerry Corsi. Dr. Corsi has written a spectacular book on the Kennedy assassination himself. He reached the same conclusion I did after years of research, that Lyndon Johnson had the motive, means, and opportunity, that there is eyewitness evidence and fingerprint evidence, as well as deep Texas politics, which ties him irrevocably to the murder of John Kennedy. It is Dr. Corsi who first expressed to me a concern that the deep state, now having been overruled by President Trump, who did not listen to their entreaties to simply put the release of these documents off for 25 years. It is Dr. Corsi's concern, I think a legitimate one, that the government will now seek to redact so much of this material and hold so much of it back that these files are worthless to researchers or those who are seeking the truth. Think of the public reaction, given the what I think has been favorable public impact of the president's decision to opt for transparency and for full disclosure, if the American people were to learn that the president's decision had simply been nullified through the back door, that government bureaucrats were now trying to block what the president had ordered. I'm Roger Stone. You're at the War Room. We're going to keep talking about the JFK assassination and what it is we hope to find from these newly released files. Welcome back. I'm Roger Stone, and you're on the War Room here at InfoWars. Now I'm joined by my colleague, Dr. Jerome Corsi, who is the Washington Bureau Chief of InfoWars. Dr. Corsi is one of the few men that I know who actually knew Senator John F. Kennedy. He has written his own brilliant book on the Kennedy assassination, which jibed with my own book. We both believe Lyndon Baines Johnson is a principal mover of the orchestrated effort to kill our president. And he has been following the National Archive issue and the release issues for some time. Dr. Corsi, welcome to the War Room.
Roger, great to be with you. Thank you very much. I want to say now, to begin with, Roger, just want to say, first of all, congratulations to you. This everybody should realize that had you not discussed the issue with Donald Trump, and of course, you know, we've been working on this for months. You and I have talked about it repeatedly, but you finally did get the opportunity to explain to President Trump why this was so important. And I really want to extend to you my personal gratitude. I'm sure millions of Americans that were going to get the president's approval to have these documents released. I think it's very critical that we see all the documents, and I think it's inexcusable that we've had to wait over 50 years while they've still remained, many of them, classified.
Well, I appreciate your kind comments. As you know, no one tells Donald Trump what to do, but my 40-year experience with him is unbroken. When he has all of the information, he almost invariably makes a good decision. And he, in this case, ignored the pleas of the deep state to keep these documents secret for yet another 25 years. One can only assume that they do that because their methods and their actions have not changed since 1963. They would not look good in a balanced history of that dark chapter in our national tale. And today we have elements of the intelligence community leaking in violation of law to undermine and destabilize President Trump. Now, you were the first one to point out to me that the next danger is for the deep state licking their wounds to redact and withhold so much of this material that what they are releasing becomes meaningless. Do you think that can really happen?
Well, I'm hoping that President Trump is now aware of the issue. I'm sure you discussed it with him. And if the deep state does try to protect itself further to continue engaging in the same kinds of completely unconstitutional and criminal behavior that was the case in the Kennedy assassination, which I'm convinced was a combination CIA-mafia plot with, as we both agree, Lyndon Johnson's full agreement. Lyndon Johnson was the one who benefited. It was a coup d'etat. And the American people have been lied to. If these documents come out in such a redacted form that they're useless, President Trump has the authority to go back and demand that the documents be released in an unredacted form. In fact, the entire document dump could be released in an unredacted form, which means you'd be able to read all the documents with names, dates, agencies, etc. And that's critical to really establishing what happened. I mean, I'm sure the deep state's already destroyed thousands of documents that we'll never see. But at least in what remains, I think we're going to find some further confirmation that Lee Harvey Oswald was working hand-in-hand with the CIA at the time of the assassination. I had been doing so since he was in James Angleton at the CIA's defector program as a Marine who defected to Russia as a counter agent, really a double agent working for the United States and had always been working for the United States, also on the FBI's payroll at the time of the assassination. That came out in the closed meetings, the minutes of the meetings of the Warren Commission itself. Something that Alan Dulles went into panic over and tried to prevent from being made public, the FBI connection to Lee Harvey Oswald. And we're going to find out a lot more about Cuba and Russia and this trip to Mexico that Lee Harvey Oswald made. I'm confident the deep state, had you not intervened with President Trump, and President Trump not made the right decision, which took a lot of courage, the deep state would have buried these documents for another 25 years simply because it does not want exposed what is increasingly apparent to the American people. The deep state is acting in a criminal fashion. And I think it's got to be put to an end. And hopefully this document dump will assist us in achieving that goal.
Well, you mentioned the Mexico City adventure, where it is alleged that Lee Harvey Oswald traveled to Mexico City, where he made appearances at the Soviet and the Cuban consulates. The problem with this is we also have the audio tape of a phone conversation between FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover and President Lyndon Johnson, in which Hoover tells Johnson the man seen in Mexico City doesn't bear any resemblance to the man who was arrested and subsequently murdered, Lee Harvey Oswald. So I am hopeful that the government's files will shed some light on that particular question. Philip Sheehan from the Washington Post yesterday was quoted as saying, "We know Oswald went to Mexico City where he met with both Cuban and Russian spies." I would say no. We know a man claiming to be Oswald went to Mexico City. And more than that, we do not know. Dr. Corsi, the last time there was a massive data dump like this, we learned that the KGB had conducted their own investigation into the Kennedy murder. They determined that Lyndon Johnson was the perp. We knew that French intelligence had conducted their own independent inquiry at the request of Jacqueline Kennedy. They also concluded that Lyndon Johnson was a ringleader. Johnson controlled the Dallas County District Attorney. Johnson controlled the Dallas City Police and the Dallas County Sheriff's Office. Murder in 1963 was a state, not federal crime. That put Lyndon Baines Johnson in firm control of the investigation and the cover-up. I do want to touch on one other thing, Dr. Corsi. You've had a series of brilliant articles about malfeasance in the Obama Justice Department, and you have focused on an incredible case of a man named William Billy Walters, a investor, philanthropist, and high-stakes gambler out of Las Vegas. The reason your stories are important, and I think you said it to me first, if President Trump wants to know what's about to happen to him, you said, he merely needs to look at what just happened to William Walters. With about 2 minutes left, can you lay this out for us?
Yes, and I'm going to be writing some more articles later this week and through next week on the Billy Walters case. Billy Walters was a very prominent businessman, an investor, a sports gambler, Las Vegas. He was investigated for insider trading, but the case was a complete setup, and it's really important because the court forced Prem Bhara, the U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York, the prosecutor, to admit in writing in an unsealed and not redacted form that the FBI, as Agent Chavez, for 4 years had been leaking secret grand jury information to the press, including 2 years before Billy Walters was indicted. Now, this is completely criminal on the FBI's part. It's an indictment by newspaper, and it's the way, and by the way, Bhara is now consulting with Mueller. Mueller has hired one of Bahara's top prosecutors, and Donald Trump correctly has accused Mueller himself of leaking. This is the way the FBI, criminal malfeasance under the FBI, has been prosecuting cases, setting people up, not giving them a fair trial, leaking to the press, and Mueller is guilty. The pattern from Bhara in writing, admitting to the federal judge in the Billy Walters case, is the Rosetta Stone, which brings down Mueller and all the corrupt prosecutors under the Obama administration in the Department of Justice. It's a vitally important case.
Thank you very much, Dr. Jerry Corsi, the Washington Bureau Chief for InfoWars. I'm Roger Stone. Victory or death.
YouTube has banned the latest Paul Joseph Watson video where he makes fun of a liberal. It'd be a shame if you shared this video with your friends.
far more frightened of the far right than I am of Islamic terrorism.
Wait, what?
I'm far more frightened of the far right than I am of Islamic terrorism.
I'm far more frightened of the far right than I am of Islamic terrorism.
Right, because far right terrorists in the UK have killed 36 people and injured a further 212 in the last 3 months alone, haven't they? No, that's Muslims.
I'm far more frightened of the far right.
According to Europol, there were 13 jihadist attacks in Europe last year, 27 left-wing terror attacks, and just one right-wing attack. Just since Ramadan started, there's been 152 Islamic terror attacks, which have killed 1,389 people all over the world. There were so many Islamic terror attacks, I couldn't even fit them into a single tweet containing four images because the list was 5 pages long. That's just over the last 27 days.
I'm far more frightened of the far right than I am of Islamic terrorism.
That's like saying you're more frightened of a teacup chihuahua than a rabid, hungry, wild wolf. You complete moron.
Nobody's talking about essentially the radicalization of young white men.
Yeah, because it's not happening. Unless I missed that story where young white men were being radicalized at churches that were literally raising money for international terrorist groups.
Because the far right is far more mainstream. The far right is the Sunday newspaper and the consequences of that.
Yeah, last time I checked, people blowing little girls up at pop concerts because of something they read in The Sun.
The far right is Katie Hopkins, up until very recently, having a mainstream show that everyone could listen to the whole time.
Right, because when terrorists are mowing down people in a van, they're not shouting Allah Akbar, they're shouting Katie Hopkins.
The far right is Nigel Farage putting these posters up that are actually using the same imagery that Hitler's propaganda used.
It took us 30 seconds to descend into literally Hitler. So Jewish refugees driven from their homes under violent persecution and the fear they'd be sent to gas chambers is equally as frightening as Nigel Farage saying that 300,000 immigrants flooding into the UK every year is unsustainable.
When I first heard about the Finsbury Park mosque attack, I was really angry and upset. People who've done nothing to anyone being harmed for the sake of hatred.
I completely agree. So you must have been equally angry when those 36 other victims were also killed for the sake of hatred, right? Let me check what she said about the Manchester attack. She must have been absolutely furious.
What a sad and horrible day.
And that's it. That's all she said about it.
You've got the Sun that lies and creates a false front page headline saying that 20% of Muslims have sympathy for jihadis, which wasn't true at all.
She's right. It was actually 25%. Two-thirds of UK Muslims wouldn't inform police if they knew someone was going to join ISIS. And 32% refused to condemn those who take part in violence against those who mock the Prophet. Didn't want to mention those statistics, did you?
I'm far more frightened of young white men. They have gall to pretend they have some kind of moral high ground when there's a terrorist attack, when they show up like vultures straight away, Tommy Robinson running to Westminster.
Yeah, let me explain something. Tommy Robinson works for a media organisation as a reporter. Reporters, you know, report from the scene of breaking news events. That's how reporting works. You're not angry at him for showing up, you're angry at him because he's got a different opinion to you. Boo-hoo!
A white person commits a crime like this, they're a troubled loner, and there's an effort to understand them with sympathy and to talk about them in terms of mental health.
Oh, you mean like when the BBC produced a puff piece documentary about the left-wing terrorist who tried to assassinate Donald Trump, where they tried to understand him with sympathy and talked about him in terms of mental health.
Michael stated he'd wanted to shoot and kill Trump. But were these the actions of a boy with a history of mental health problems?
This is not a hardened criminal. This is just a young kid who found himself in an awful situation.
Last time I checked, Tommy Robinson or Katie Hopkins hadn't tried to assassinate a head of state or massacre Republican lawmakers. Unlike left-wing terrorists.
I'm far more frightened of the far right.
Surely, this can't get any dumber. Surely she's not going to start blaming Islamic terror attacks on toxic masculinity.
Toxic masculinity.
Is the War Room.
All right, well, Welcome back to the War Room. We are into the second hour. I'm now joined in studio by Candace Owens. You've seen her on Twitter. You've seen her on YouTube, Red Pill Black. And you just saw the video from Paul Joseph Watson. I mean, just looking at that woman really is all you need to do to see where she's coming from. But I wanted to have Candace actually cover some more liberal madness with us here. You want to do that, Candace?
Let's do it. Let's I love liberal
fun.
Madness.
Okay, that's good. It truly is a mental disorder. Let's start with this video. This is a shocking one. So we just saw that crazy-looking lady, right?
Right.
With the hairdo there. This is another crazy-looking liberal who led. I'll actually give this guy credit. He led the march against Ben Shapiro. I didn't think that this guy could lead his way into a candy store, and somehow he led the march against Ben Shapiro. So here is the leader of the movement to stop Ben Shapiro's right to free speech.
This is a public institution. It's a government entity. They have to guarantee the free speech rights of everyone, including Shapiro.
We find the leader of that group that has vowed to shut tonight's event down,
no
who makes
way.
A startling admission.
I don't think he should speak.
But that doesn't really comport with the First Amendment.
I don't care.
You don't care?
I don't care.
Why not?
I don't think that's a relevant document right now.
So there you go, Candace. He doesn't think the Constitution and the right to free speech is relevant. What do you think about that?
Come on, that's funny. I don't think the Constitution is relevant right now. I feel like that's a really good comeback.
I don't think the Constitution is relevant right now. I think that my two diamond studs in my earrings is a lot more relevant. Is the camera picking that up, by the way? Do you see my diamond studs? I honestly, though, can you believe that a soy boy like that could actually lead anything?
It's just hilarious because even the headline, he led a march against Ben Shapiro. I mean, how ridiculous does that sound? Like, Ben Shapiro literally goes around speaking on college campuses. He's like,
and he's like
so
milquetoast.
Well-educated. Yeah,
he's not even really that extreme.
It's
like,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, what they consider necessary to attack. It's absolutely hilarious. And I had no idea that he looked like that. That was really funny.
You guys want to just pull up his image again? Just bring up, this is the leader. He's an anti-Semite. Look at this anti-Semite.
He's leader of the march against Ben Shapiro, in case you missed it.
No, but you got to say, that's a pretty cute top that he has on there, don't you think? Let's see his top again.
It's exactly what you're expecting.
There it is.
Look at that. It's a meme waiting to happen. That is a meme waiting to happen.
And don't meme him. Don't meme yeah. him.
I just don't think that's a relevant document right now.
It's just not a relevant document.
Oh. I need to use that going forward. Every time I do something I shouldn't be doing, I just don't think that's a relevant
law
right
relevant.
Now.
Yeah, that's just not relevant.
It's just not relevant.
Oh, I like that. I like where your mind goes with that. Take their argument.
Yeah, and apply
and then
it
use
elsewhere.
It against them.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the guy that led the protest against Ben Shapiro. Wow. Quite a manly man there. You don't have to worry about toxic masculinity with him. Now, here's a video. I'm sure that you've seen this one, Candace. There was a protester that breached the White House today. Have you seen this video?
I did see that video.
All right, so let's just go ahead and roll this video because I want to talk about who actually was behind this. This is a video from the Hill today of a protester breaching the White House, throwing Trump Russian flags into the air. Go ahead and roll this video. Trump is treason.
Why are you talking about tax cuts when you should be talking about treason? Why is Congress talking about tax cuts when they should
now
be talking
Now listen, this
about
is the key
treason?
Here.
This president conspired with agents of the Russian government to steal an election. We should be talking about treason in Congress, not about tax cuts. Violation from American state action.
So, just like every other argument we've heard from them, they offer no details. No specifics. They just say, this president conspired with Russia. Well,
look,
they've been investigating. What have they found?
They just really wanted Hillary to be the president. It's so funny. There's no proof whatsoever, and they're sticking by their guns, and now they're throwing up Russian flags. What I always want to know is, what do you think Putin thinks when he sees, Russian flags being thrown at Trump? It's just gotten so ridiculous.
He's laughing
he
at the whole thing.
He definitely must think it's laugh out loud funny.
Well, actually, I think that the entire world looks at this and thinks it's funny because you have half of the country that's, getting behind Trump and there's this new kind of American revolution. And then you've got the other half of the country that is actually the stereotype of what some people think of Americans. Dumb, fat,
right.
Slovenly, no clue about their government. And then they see a video like that and they're like, Putin-Trump-Russia collusion. What are you talking
about? Yeah, they have no idea what's going on. I think they must think these people are basically, you know, unintelligent or at least very severely badly informed by the media.
Maybe liberalism is a mental disorder.
Maybe that's what's going on. One of my French friends, she always says that what's going on in America, it's like a soap opera to everybody else, like watching a soap opera over and over again. It's like General Hospital over here. So
interesting.
Thanks, CNN.
Well, CNN. An apple is an apple.
Right.
An apple. Thank you, CNN, for that. But this is the funny thing. So you've got this protester. Oh, guys, by the way, pull up his website. So before we get even to the news, this is the guy. This is his website. AmericansTakeAction.com. Now, there's a lot of irony here. What do you know? Ryan Clayton gets interviewed by the Young Turds. The Young Turds Chunk Yogurt interviews Ryan Clayton from AmericansTakeAction.com. Now, this is the website. This is the guy who threw the Trump-Russia flags. Pull his website back up, guys. Candace, let's break this down for a second. Go to the part of the website. Go to the top, guys. We can't really see it here, but they've got the Trump puppets. You can buy the Trump-Russia flags that he threw out. They got the impeached Trump. But go to their three goals. Candace, let's break down these three goals because I find this ironic. So let's start with number one. This is from the Americans Take Action. They protested Trump today, threw Russian flags in the air, said Trump is treason. While the Democrats are literally caught colluding with the Russians. Number one of their three goals, restore free and fair elections. This is something I think we would both agree with, right?
I think we'd both agree with it. And if they honored number one, then they would accept the fact that Trump is the president. But, you know.
Wait, but wasn't that a talking point from Trump's campaign? I'm confused. Okay, so we both support Trump, and we both actually agree with their first goal on here. All right, so number two. Now, this is where they just kind of get into, like, their pseudo-intellectual, like, fancy talk. Create a purpose-driven economy. What does that even mean?
I have no idea what that means. I was just going to say I have no idea what that means. Where the work of all people is respected. I have no idea what that means. That just sounds like a bunch of hoopla.
What they do is they show their true colors. And the truth is that they don't respect all people. They don't even respect themselves.
They don't even respect the president of the United States.
No.
And they're talking about respecting other people. I mean, could it be a bigger example that they have absolutely no respect for anybody when you can't honor and respect the president of the United States and you're actively pursuing and attacking people that do?
How about this? I just scratched out purpose-driven and put strong. Create a strong economy. So Trump's doing that too.
Yes, he is.
All right, let's look at number three. Resist any and all threats to a free and open internet. Well,
what?
They're pretty much trying to censor anything pro-Trump right now.
Right.
So wouldn't that be against what the Americans Take Action are saying here?
They're not trying to. They are actively censoring anything that does not sell the narrative that they have agreed to. So I would say that is quite an ironic statement.
I'm to the point now, Candace. I don't know about you. She does her videos on YouTube. They're very specific. You know, you pick a subject and you hammer it home and you use, you know, your wittiness and your sarcasm to just kind of destroy these narratives. But it's almost like the only thing that I can even do at times is just to laugh at these people.
Because it's funny. That's essentially what I'm doing.
It's so absurd.
There's nothing you can do but laugh, because otherwise you'll drive yourself crazy actually trying to go in and attack each and every headline with common sense. So all you can do is sit back and appreciate it. It's like the longest running soap opera and Saturday Night Live skit ever. And they're real people with real ideas.
And they really believe this stuff.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Eminem. Like, seriously, he's now hip-hop politics. Like, I don't even know what's going on.
Hey, he's got a new album coming out, so he's got to get his name back out there.
Right.
But this guy protests Trump-Russia collusion the day after the Democrats are the ones now being probed for Russia, and the day after Clinton's Uranium One deal is being looked at with the FBI and Obama colluding, and then Nunes today announces an inquiry into the Uranium One scandal. I'm going to go throw Trump-Russia flags, though. Some goofball who filled his pockets with Trump Russia flags and invaded the White House and threw them in the air and chanted Trump treason colluded with Russia. Meanwhile, on the other side of the hill, this was going on.
What we're here today to announce is an inquiry into Russia's involvement into the uranium deal
that
was done several years ago. This is just the beginning of this probe. We're not going to jump to any conclusions at this time.
No need for that.
But one of the things, as you know, that we're concerned about is whether or not there was an FBI investigation.
Hold on a second.
Was there a DOJ investigation?
Pause it right there. Isn't this the same Nunes that was like anti-Trump? I mean, this guy has to be eating so much crow right now.
It's so great. I love it. You have to love it because it always feels like it takes forever for the truth to arrive. But when it does, Vic, it feels sweet. You know, this uranium thing is the best thing going on right now.
Look at his face right there, Candace. Don't you think that is the face of just somebody that's eating crow?
He got his hand caught in the cookie jar for real.
He looks like he's full of crow. Hey, let's go back to Nunes here.
And if so, why was Congress not informed of this matter? So that will be the start of the
probe. Oh, he's blaming Congress not being informed for him looking like an idiot. Oh, I get it. Why didn't you tell me this was going on? Oh, now I look like a fool.
They buried absolutely everything when it came to Hillary. And, you know, it's all coming to light right now. And I'm feeling good about it.
So, okay. The last time I've been really busy here, unfortunately, I haven't really gotten to see much of my family this year. And the last time I saw most of my family was at Thanksgiving 2000. I think that might have been even 2015 or Christmas 2015.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I remember not my direct family, but my extended family. And I remember back then basically talking about all of this, saying Trump's going to win. You know, Clinton's going to go down, all this stuff. They all laughed at me. And it's just, it's not even vindication. It's just like, it's like the Kermit the Frog meme. It's like, I'm just going to sit here and just, I'm just going to drink my tea while you watch this happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think people do feel vindicated in a big way watching this go down. I mean, how can you not? You've been called crazy. You've been trying to get the information out and they suppress everything. And you just have to think, this woman, with all of this going on, was able to run for president of the United States and the media had her back.
Yeah. Oh, and they knew too. They knew. Just like the Harvey Weinstein thing. Oh, well, we all knew this was going on.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same story with this Clinton deal.
Yeah.
They all knew that this was going on while they were pointing the finger at Trump. But it doesn't get any richer than a guy on the other side of the hill throwing Trump Russia flags up, screaming treason, while on the other side, literally they're announcing a probe into Clinton's uranium deal. So we're not even a day into this probe, Candace, and we really already have more evidence to indict Clinton and Obama and Holder and the FBI than we had against Trump throughout this Russian probe over the last year.
Yeah, obviously the Russian probe was all BS that was happening, but I'm just trying to see when someone's going to start selling the Hillary Russia flags, the Obama Russia flags.
Anybody in the warehouse, anybody in the InfoWars store?
Yeah.
We you guys
should
hearing
be
this?
Fully throwing those
Steal
around.
This idea from Candace. Candace just had the idea. Yeah. We can steal it. She said it on our airwaves.
You've got to do it. You've got to do it.
I like that. Hillary. Yeah. So what do you think? Is it like, do we put a Hillary Clinton face on the Russian flag or we just put like, I'm with her on the Russian flag?
I think we need both her face and I'm with her and we've got to have it on the Russian flag. And that's what we should be throwing up in the air at rallies for Trump, you know?
That's brilliant. I love that idea. Wow. We're going to steal that right from you then.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got the guy protesting on the Hill with the Trump Russia flags. Now, this is a advertisement from Tom Steyer, a billionaire Democrat. Folks, this is really going to shock you, but it shows you the true nature of these liberals. He spent $10 million on this advertisement, and we'll talk about some other millions he spent. But this is an advertisement from Tom Steyer urging Americans to impeach President Trump.
He's brought us to the brink of nuclear war.
Yeah, that was his
fault. Obstructed justice at the FBI. an indirect violation of the Constitution.
I can't.
He's taken money from foreign governments and threatened to shut down news organizations that report the truth. If that isn't the case,
all right, you know what? Just stop it. I'm sorry, I didn't have to stop it right there.
Yeah, it should be stopped right there.
Okay.
Shutting down news organizations that are trying to tell the truth is like the worst thing I have ever heard ever. That's just got to be stopped instantly.
But isn't it the fact that all of these media organizations are censoring Trump supporters? You've experienced it yourself.
Yeah. And they're not even hiding the fact. You just have to talk to Google and YouTube. They say, oh, we're going to suppress this if we consider it hate speech. I've experienced myself. Twitter, Google, they're all in this together. Facebook. It's unbelievable that he has the audacity. It shows you just how stupid they still think the American population is. It's an insult, really, to the remaining people that actually are holding on for something to come out true on CNN. It's an insult. They're saying, you know what? You're so dumb. We're going to double down on every tactic that we tried, which is what got Trump into the White House. They need to hire someone else in marketing.
And I can't even remember the just started over from the top. Just started from the top because he makes an even more outlandish statement just to start this thing. Go ahead, guys.
He's brought us to the brink of nuclear
war. Oh, yeah, yeah. He hasn't even been obstructed. This whole thing is
Stop
ridiculous.
It again. Stop
no, just
it again.
Roll it. Just roll it. Obstructed justice. Give me a break.
Threatened to shut down news organizations that report mm-hmm. the truth.
It's just.
If that isn't a case for impeaching
there
and
is,
a
Tom Steyer.
The stylist picked that
become?
Out.
I'm Tom Steyer. And like you, I'm a citizen who knows it's up to us to do something.
Time to do
it's
something.
Why I'm funding this effort to raise our voices
I'm
together
have Rob Reiner over
and demand that elected officials take a stand on impeachment. A Republican Congress once impeached a president for far less.
Yet but they today, have nothing.
People in Congress and his own administration know this president is a clear and present danger.
What's with the whisper
He's
voice?
Mentally unstable and armed with nuclear weapons.
Good liberal.
And they do nothing.
It's training for NPR.
Join us. And tell your member of Congress that they have a moral responsibility to stop doing what's political and start doing what's right.
So here's the irony about this.
Our country depends on it.
This is a guy who has spent $10 million to get that ad out on a national campaign. He's also spent hundreds of millions of dollars to get people to vote Democrat. So this is a man who claims to be a good liberal, a Democrat, spends hundreds of millions of dollars trying to rig elections and rig governments. Why don't these people put that into their communities,
this
Candace?
This is just because they don't want to put it into communities. They want to put it into themselves. And that's what they're doing when they put this out. They want to put themselves back into power. So this is amazing because it's globalists that are they're not even hiding it now. They're like, you know, let's just make commercials for ourselves. You know, hi, I'm a billionaire and I want control back is what that commercial is.
By the way, yeah. Alex
the way,
Jones.
I'm watching you guys right now. This is real synergy. Got some real chemistry happening here. So I hope we can get the a nice lady here hired here at InfoWars because this is awesome. But I wanted to jump in. Everything they're saying about Trump, they've done. They're the ones that gave the nuclear reactors in North Korea and the missiles. And it's Google and Facebook and Twitter admittedly censoring conservative and libertarian views. We have internal, hidden, 60-minute style footage from Project Veritas saying, no
Alex, they didn't mention you.
InfoWars.
They didn't mention Alex Jones by name in that video. Oh, wait, yeah, they did.
They're the ones trying to bring in censorship. Hillary, MSNBC, CNBC, The Morning Joe say shut down conservative media. They are saying shut us down, ladies and gentlemen. This is incredible. And then saying we're doing it to them. They're a bunch of damn hypocrites. They're the Russian agents. F you, Hillary.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the War Room. Owen Schroyer here with Candace Owens, and we are laughing at liberals, the new American pastime. And you guys make all of it possible by supporting us at InfoWarsStore.com, so we are running some great specials right now. Of course, Silver Bullet is 50% off right now. That is a great deal. Stock up on Silver Bullet. Get a couple of those things, and you'll be set for a while. What is the so under $15 right now for Silver Bullet colloidal silver? This has multiple uses. I like to use it on blisters, cuts, abrasions. If I get a sore throat, it's great as well. Silver Bullet, 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force is still 50% off. That's while supplies last. And I assume now we're just going to run that special until we run out of it. Of course, if you have auto ship, that means that we will hold some back for you if we do run out, and you also get an additional 10% off. That's with all products. If you use AutoShip, you get an additional 10% off. So that'd be in addition to the 50% off BrainForce and Silver Bullet, as well as Anthroplex, 50% off that as well. And again, you get the extra 10% off with AutoShip. Here's a product that I think is going to be very key, especially with winter around the corner, and that's 50% off Winter Sun Vitamin D. This is a supplement I use during the winter, especially when you wear the long sleeves out, the coats, the hats. It's cold outside. It's overcast. You don't get much of that sun. You don't get much of that good vitamin D from the sun. So we offer a solution, and that's Winter Sun Vitamin D. And just because the season is coming up, we decided to give it a discount because that's how we roll. Instead of marking up our prices when they become seasonal, we mark them down. So take advantage of all of these specials at InfoWarsStore.com. All right. We got some stuff to cover here. We're going to continue to laugh at liberals. It's the new American pastime we decided here. Candace, let's start with this. A year ago today, Hillary Clinton tweets out, Donald Trump refused to say he'd respect the results of this election. That's a direct threat to our democracy. That's Hillary Clinton a year ago. Now you literally have people throwing Russian flags on the Hill. And how about this? This is the headlines on the Drudge today, a year after Clinton sends that out. Dems calling psychologists to talk about Trump mental health. CNN Don Lemon weeps on air.
That's my favorite.
Activists scream at sky on election anniversary. So let's go to Don Lemon. Don Lemonhead. This is when if you're Jeff Zucker and you look at Don Lemon and you think that's your future, ouch. Here's Don Lemon weeping on air.
Thank you all for joining us. Mark, as you just heard, Don. Maisha Johnson, the widow of Sergeant LaDavid Johnson, spoke out today saying President Trump made her cry. Now I want to turn now to CNN senior political analyst Mark Preston, political analyst April Ryan, and military analyst Colonel Cedric Layton. Sorry.
There he goes.
I'm sorry. Welcome, everyone. Mark, thank you all for joining us. Mark, as you just heard, Maisha Johnson, Sergeant LaDavid Johnson, spoke out today saying President Trump made her cry. She said he couldn't really even remember her husband's name. And then less than an hour later, he tweeted this. He said, I had a very respectful conversation with the widow of Sergeant LaDavid Johnson and spoke his name from beginning without hesitation.
There he goes.
I don't understand.
A widow of a fallen soldier says the president of the United States made her cry, and the president responds with a tweet denying it. Why does this president always need to have the last word? Why does he act this way?
Well, Don, before we get to the core of Donald Trump, if you can put that tweet back up, what I think is very important about that tweet that Donald Trump said this morning is at the very end. He writes, and spoke his name from beginning without hesitation, exclamation point, as to not...
how much he
meant when he sent that tweet about the way.
Is that Lemon still crying in the background?
Trump do this? None of us will ever truly know, but we have seen throughout the campaign.
He needs some winter
sun. We have seen now for the first 8 or 9 months in office right now, Don, that Donald Trump doesn't know how to express empathy in a way.
I really think I can hear him sniffling in the background.
Donald Trump doesn't realize that his job as leader of the free world, president of the United States, commander in chief of the armed forces, requires that you have to be the bigger man.
It's got to be tough.
Not
being
some of the time, all of the time. That sometimes that you have to take a punch in the nose and bleed a little.
Well, you know, you look at the guys that are running the show over there at CNN. You got Jake Tapper, Anderson Cooper, Don Lemon. I mean, these guys can get a little emotional.
I would really like to meet their wives. I have been dying.
Wives?
I just want to know, like, how do you deal with this emotional bubble? I mean, they're constantly crying. And it's always perfectly timed, right? Right when they're on air, a little tear comes. They scrunch up their face and they sniffle. It's the weirdest thing. I don't understand. I feel like it's a preschool over at CNN. A little less crying in a preschool. I think you could agree.
Maybe
it was a little less
a
crying.
Time, yeah. Some CNN nap
time. CNN needs a nap time. I think that's what's going on. They're overworked and they're tired and they're so tired of talking about Trump that they need to take a break. And
I don't know. I get the feeling that maybe Jake Tapper canceled a lunch date right before that segment. And that's why Don Lemon is so upset. He's not going to get that lunch date with Jake Tapper.
It is the absolute worst TV to watch. I can't understand.
Oh, my God. It's the Cry News Network.
It's the crying news network. It really is. And Jimmy Kimmel deserves a slot there because he cries a lot. He's a very emotional man.
And he doesn't want to talk to Trump supporters.
No, he doesn't want to talk to Trump supporters, but he wants to cry. And he always holds in his cry until he does his opening monologue. And then all of a sudden he's here.
I have something in my pants. Will you try to tell me what it is? So the Cry News Network is falling apart. Now, this might even be... this is almost too good to describe. Illegal immigrants hop border fence as MSNBC is reporting on the wall. This is incredible footage. Go ahead and roll that clip.
Through it, can we scale over it?
What happened? The people are crossing. Almost on cue, a group of asylum seekers, migrants not from Mexico, jumped over the existing fence to turn themselves in to border agents on horseback.
People actually crossed the border illegally? No way.
Small group of three people just jumped over in the middle of the day. Girl there with a pink backpack.
He's supporting her.
What's going on?
That's the best part. He's supporting her.
That's true. Wait a second.
He's now a Trump supporter, apparently.
This is actually breaking news. MSNBC covers illegal immigration for the first time ever.
Yeah, they do. And they reported
just now.
So I don't understand why they have issues with what Donald Trump is doing when he literally turned and the second that he saw it, he said, oh, no, if my taxes have to go up, the girl in the pink backpack, I just watched her do it. I mean, he instantly turned into an American right there. You know,
wait a second. Didn't you hear the shock in his voice? He's like, whoa. Someone's hopping the border right now. Like, oh, my gosh. It's actually happening. What is going on here?
Yeah, I think they think it's all fake and made up by conservatives and Donald Trump. Yes, it happens a lot, MSNBC. Welcome to the real world. Welcome to why Trump won.
And then they actually say that this person that hopped the wall wasn't even from Mexico. So this person traveled all the way up through Central America to turn themselves into border control to get asylum here in the United States. It's really crazy. All right. I don't even know. So you got Don Lemon weeping on the Cry News Network.
Of course.
You got Hillary Clinton a year after her tweet on not respecting the results of the election, still crying about the election. You got Democrats calling psychologists to talk about Trump's mental health. Let's hold that over. But how about this one? Maybe we'll get into this on the other side. Maybe don't dress your kids up as Moana this Halloween. I don't even know who this is. Apparently it's a Disney character. But wouldn't you say that if it's racially insensitive to dress up as Moana for Halloween, that it would be racially insensitive to even produce this movie to begin with?
I'm assuming it might be racially insensitive to dress up as Cinderella or any of the white characters that are on Disney as well. So I think as a rule...
I was thinking about being Cinderella this year.
Right? Now you can't be it because it's racially insensitive. There's nothing more ridiculous than that. Kids don't even think about that. You know what I mean? And they're infiltrating their minds with this absolute BS saying, oh, you have to think this way. Just so you know, I know you really like Pocahontas, but that's cultural appropriation, five-year-olds. It's just ridiculous.
I was in college, let's see, about five, six years ago. I can't even think of the years right now. But even then, like going to Halloween parties, nobody thought about this.
Nobody thinks about that crap.
Nobody thought about what cultural appropriation or racially insensitive costumes might be.
Liberals have taken the fun out of absolutely everything.
They don't know how to have fun.
They have no idea how to have fun. And when they see fun being had.
We're going to have more fun on the other side. Don't go anywhere. In the war room. I'm Owen Troyer. I'm with Candace Owens. I've got a stack of news here. I mean, I got stacks on stacks on stacks, but Harvey Weinstein gate is completely collapsing. And I went on a bit of a rant yesterday. I think my head almost exploded when I was talking about how they're going to be targeting toxic masculinity. So know this, when Hollywood chumps like Matt Damon and George Clooney are talking about knowing about Harvey Weinstein being a scumbag, these are not people that have toxic masculinity. These are people that have totally cucked to Hollywood. Here's Matt Damon and George Clooney admitting they knew about Weinstein.
He bought Good Will Hunting and we shot it in 97. And I did five movies in quick succession. He signed me up for a three-picture deal. And I didn't work with him again after that. But I was there kind of at the... That was the height of his power. And... And what you knew back then was, I mean, you had to spend about 5 minutes with him to know that he was a bully, he was intimidating. That was his legend. That was his whole kind of MO. Like, could you survive a meeting with Harvey? Could you stand up for yourself with Harvey? And the people who worked for him were like, you know, I'm coming here to make good movies. Miramax was the place, really the place, that was making great stuff in the 90s. So when people say, like, everybody knew, like, yeah, I knew it was, you know, I mean,
so what does that mean?
He was proud of that. You know what I mean?
Matt Damon.
How he carried himself. And I knew he was a womanizer. You know, I wouldn't want to be married to the guy, but, like, I'm not, you know, it's not my business, really. But this level of criminal sexual predation is not something that I ever thought was going on. Absolutely not. I knew the story about Gwyneth from Ben because he was with her after Brad. And so I knew that story, but I was working with Gwyneth, with Harvey.
What? Does he know? Does he not know? Or does he know?
We were at Princeton together.
I never talked to Gwyneth about it. Ben told me, but I knew that they had come to whatever agreement or understanding that they had come to. She had handled it, and she was, you know, the first lady of Miramax.
Agreement or understanding? What do you think that is?
Respectfully.
You make my movies, you make millions of dollars, you become rich and famous, and watch me in the shower. Okay.
Affairs with. I didn't necessarily believe them, quite honestly, because to believe them would be to believe kind of the worst of some actresses who were friends of mine.
Give me a break.
And I didn't really think that they were going to have affairs with Harvey, quite honestly, and clearly they didn't. But the idea that this predator, this assaulter, was out there silencing women like that, it's beyond infuriating. And the fact that the story is coming out now, and the more it comes out, I want to know all of it.
Quentin Tarantino, big director, obviously has come forward and said,
people
we've
have
heard
been joking
thing.
About
we've never
this.
Seen it. So there's nothing that you've heard it, like you said, you never saw anything that.
He didn't do it out in the open. If there was ever an event or something that I was at in public with Harvey, and he was doing this kind of thing.
Actually, we have reports of him masturbating in clubs.
And
that's in public.
It was at the Golden Globes or something like that, and I somehow missed it, then I'm sorry.
How do we change?
I somehow missed it.
He's sorry, though.
If I somehow missed it, I'm sorry.
And then we have to make it safe for people to feel that they can talk about this. And in doing that, I think that'll scare away that kind of behavior. But more than anything, you're going to have a warning shot over the bow of anyone who would act like that, that you will be outed and you'll be out of the business, and more than that, you might be prosecuted.
Or
I talked with my wife
top,
about this,
which is what
and
Harvey
she said,
did.
You know,
so,
she could find
and everyone
you know, in
that he
her line
with
of work,
him.
Yeah.
Which is
that went along
rights
with
law.
Yeah.
You know, there have been plenty of instances where some guy has tried, you know, to make
ABC
their move.
News
in some guy in power. Has tried to make their move. Many, if not most, women have at some point in their life faced this kind of behavior. I think that's a little bit of a surprise to some of us that it's this
quite
big,
a statement to
that
make
it's
that.
This, this prevalent.
Are, and is maybe that mean that you're guilty too, Clooney?
That comes out of this is that we're
you've had plenty of wives and girlfriends, or I guess he's had one wife and multiple girlfriends.
And again, we're going to make it harder for it to happen.
Well, I'd like to commend them on that acting. That was really good acting by Matt Damon and George Clooney right there.
You think it's Oscar?
I know. Movie? I didn't know. I knew, but I didn't know. It's amazing watching Holly.
I'm sorry if I knew and didn't do anything.
I mean, maybe I was there, but like, you know, I didn't know. So
yeah, we all knew this was going on.
But we
didn't
know.
You made it in Hollywood, but I didn't know.
But I didn't know, no.
We're going to do something about this.
Yeah, so.
I'm Matt Damon.
That was definitely Oscar worthy. So this is great because we get to actually watch Hollywood do PR on themselves. And they're all, on themselves, and they're all actors and actresses. So it's really rich watching this.
You know, it was Robert De Niro who said that Trump was a punk and he wanted to punch him in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
No comment from De Niro on Weinstein, though.
George Clooney pretty much led the Hillary Clinton campaign in terms of celebrity A-listers throwing tons of money at them. You know,
well, George Clooney, hold on. George Clooney said he wanted to get big money out of politics, so then he held a 25,000 seat per seat dinner fundraiser
so attainable.
For Hillary.
Leftists are so attainable, you know?
Shocking. But let's look at some of these news stories here. Yesterday, you had 38 women accuse filmmaker James Toback of sexual harassment. 200 more have now reached out to share their stories. Candace, what do you think about this? Do you think that I'm on the brink? I don't want to feel insensitive about this, but you know, I think it does deserve a fair amount of criticism to say if this was part of the culture and you were all accepting it, how much sympathy can you really expect
none.
From the people?
Zero. And you don't have to
you
be,
say none.
You don't have to be soft about this. Zero. Do you want me to feel bad for all of these women sharing Me Too stories? The same woman that were laughing out loud at Ivanka Trump, calling her complicit for supporting her father. Meanwhile, they were all supporting and burying the Harvey Weinstein story.
Mm-hmm.
And you want me to feel bad? Me Too is what, a pat on the back to yourselves? They're literally just doing PR. This is like emergency PR in Hollywood. We spent an entire 2 years pretty much bashing Trump every which way we could on the carpets. Where is Stephen Colbert's like singing songy skit on this? Is that the next Emmys? He's going to sing and dance and tap dance and do a Harvey Weinstein thing? No, he's not going to do that.
I doubt it. It'll probably be
because they're hypocrites.
Trump.
They're all hypocrites. Of course it's going to come on. it's going to be about Trump.
It's just insane to see all of this happening while they still want to try to, again, you know, pose this against Trump, pretend like they care about women's rights. I mean, the Me Too, the hashtag Me Too campaign. This is so infuriating for me. Elizabeth Warren, Claire McCaskill, Ashley Judd.
Yep.
These are the same women that self-righteously and proudly declared themselves nasty women.
But do you want to know something? And as somebody tweeted this at me, and I can't recall who the person was, but they said to me, maybe this is what the entire wave of radical feminism was about. People suppressing their own rapes in Hollywood. And they got on a platform and they had no way to get it out. And now they were blaming, essentially projecting when Trump came out with a tape that he said something.
Because so they were all living Trump it. So much.
Because...
And they've been burying that so deep that that's kind of their way of like
they're projecting. Radical feminists have been projecting for a very long time in Hollywood, wearing these pussy hats like absolute clowns, you know? And the stories are out and they've been caught red-handed. They can no longer bash Trump anymore. That's got to just end at this point.
Ashley Judd is just a complete joke.
She is an absolute joke.
She's a nasty woman. Exclusive, Terry Richardson banned from working with Vogue and other leading mags. Leaked email shows, so now sexual
allegations. That's been out. Everyone has known about Terry Richardson forever. He's another one that's been covered by the industry because he took good photos. They don't care. He takes nice photos, so we're going to just keep working with him all the time.
Oh, and check the records. This is the same guy that hangs out with Lady Gaga, hangs out with Barack Obama.
Yeah, they love him. They absolutely love him because he takes cool photos. And taking cool photos means more than all of the girls. So many girls have come and tried to speak out against Terry Richardson. That was a long story that's been buried for a very long time. Very, very, very long time.
So you knew
about,
I never even heard of this.
Oh, I heard about that. He's a photographer. I heard about that a long time ago. And people have constantly tried to bury it. This is what Hollywood does best. These are the people that stood up and cheered for Roman Polanski, and they voted for him to come, be allowed to come back into the country.
He kind of looks like
a campaign for that.
Kind of looks like John Podesta's cousin, doesn't he?
Confirm that he raped the girl. Everything, you know. And they were begging for him to come back into this country. So this has gone on forever in Hollywood, and now, unfortunately, they have to eat crow, and it's laugh out loud funny to watch the good acting by George Clooney with his legs crossed, and that's going to sway me to think, oh, Hollywood just like, you know, they made a mistake. It's a big uh-oh. No, you're disgusting, and your time is over.
Now, see, these are the type of stories where I think you understand how the bullying really works, where you've got this girl, this is the stories you don't even want to report on. New Harvey Weinstein accuser sobs as she claims the movie mogul I can't even say this, but raped her in the most disgusting way. I won't even get into the details, but you know, you hear a story like this, and to me, Mimi Halei, I don't know who this girl is. To me, this is an example, and there's probably more examples of, you know, C-list, D-list people who just kind of get victimized, and then the entire industry bullies them into silence.
Right.
And then now she feels like, okay, well, I can talk about this gruesome rape, but why didn't she talk about it before? That's what we have to ask. Is it because she was bullied into not talking about it, or did she want to continue to get movie roles? Well, I never heard of her, so I don't think it's the latter.
Right.
All right, we will be right back with more of The War Room. Don't go anywhere. That Michael Moore has a one-man Broadway show bashing Trump? Yeah, neither did I, neither did anyone else, and it's a complete miserable failure. Here's a report from Rob Due.
Infant mortality is one of the best...
We're going to get that video from Rob Due.
Rob Dew reporting for InfoWars.com, and we are in front of the Bolesco Theater, where Michael Moore, whose face is behind me, the face of Jabba the Hutt, has just ended a 13-week run at this theater. And I have some stats I'll talk to you about in a second, but it was a one-man show that he was putting on, where basically he was taking on Trump. We'll show you some fake tweets he put out. In fact, let's go over there and look at these now. He had a account called Unreal Donald Trump. Fake media reports fake filmmaker Michael Moore coming to Broadway. If not reported on Fox and Friends, it's not true. Don't be fooled. He can't sing, he can't act, he can't dance. Give show to Jeff Sessions. Now he can act. I've instructed son-in-law Jaron Kushner, a very good guy, to open a secret line of communication with Bolesco Theater to get the dirt on the new Michael Moore play. Cheater Michael Moore, still the title of his new play, Terms of My Surrender, from my latest memo to the Senate Intel Committee. That's right. What they're referring to is the Russian dossier, the fake Russian narrative that has been going on, for months now. And we can't seem to get rid of it. But look, we have a New York Times article of Michael Moore taking aim at Trump on Broadway. And so this show just ended its run at a 13-week run, and he had a ticket sales of $4.2 million. And Broadway League Trade Group tracked that, and they said it only earned 49% of its potential gross. So less than half of what it could have made. It's not very good. Not very good for the investors. Not very good for Michael Moore. Here we have a nice life-size of Moore. Actually, this isn't life-size because he's about, I don't know, add about 300 pounds to that frame. Look, they made him skinny. They tried to make him real small looking, but we all know Michael Moore is a very giant dude. And let me get, and they contrasted this with Bruce Springsteen, whose show has nearly made 100% of its potential. So Bruce Springsteen's selling out. It's a one-man show. Michael Moore is a one-man show, 50%. Why? Because Bruce Springsteen is actually entertaining people. Now, he probably has liberal views and is a Democrat, but he's not in your face over and over again talking about how bad the president is. Here we have a guy doing that, got nothing really good to offer people. Friends with Harvey Weinstein, also tweeted how much of a good buddy he is to Harvey Weinstein, and then his one-man show falls flat. Now there's a review here from the New Yorker. I have to read this. Mr. Moore doesn't have a late-night comedian's timing. He punctuates his own jokes with nervous giggles, mumbles between his lines, and despite his baggy frame, has little sense of himself as a physical comedian. So it wasn't helped by the fact that many comedians were already, if you watch late-night TV, all they are is skewering Trump. So here we have it. Just ended its 13-week run live, 8 times a week, live on Broadway. So Michael Moore was performing for the people, yet he couldn't make ends meet. So they've called it off after 13 weeks. Best-selling author, Oscar-winning filmmaker, acclaimed provocateur, stirring activist, strictly limited engagement, and no one showed up. That just shows the power of what's going on in the world right now. People are sick of people like Michael Moore. You know, when he did Roger and Me, and when he did Bowling for Columbine, I would say those were at least, I didn't agree with his stance on guns, but at least he was going out there and doing work. Roger and Me was talking about the failed auto industry in Detroit. I totally agree. These people were skinning rabbits in their backyard. I remember watching that film and thinking, wow, this guy's really onto something. But he went on and talked about how he didn't know F-stop from F-troop, and we know that's a lie. That, like, Michael Moore's just one big lie after one big lie. Friends with Harvey Weinstein. What else do you have to say about that? Nothing much else. So let's go out. I think we have one more shot here. This is from the historic Bolesco Theater, Michael Moore on Broadway. It's a one-man show directed by Michael Mayer. Limited engagement. Here he is right here. The Terms of My Surrender. Hiding. Look, Trump is actually watching the play. He's so amused. I bet Trump didn't even give it the time of day. I don't even think he tweeted about it because he doesn't care. So there you go. Just another example of what's going on in the world and the total sea change that's happening between people just buying up gullible stuff that Michael Moore stews out and then looking at reality and what's really going on in the world.
This is the War Room.
Welcome back to the War Room. Owen Schroyer, Candace Owens with you, and we are going to open up the phone lines and take your calls in this hour, the final hour of the War Room. 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. 2244. We'll take your calls on anything. Questions for Candace. You want to talk about Russian collusion and the Democrats. You want to talk about Jeff Flake, the snowflake from Snowflake, Arizona. You cannot make this stuff up. We'll take your calls on anything. Before we get your calls, though, I have to remind you about our specials that are running at InfoWarsStore.com right now. This is how we fund ourselves. We don't get big money from George Soros. We don't get big money from lobbying groups. We don't get big money from Big Pharma. No, we get support from you, and we bring you great deals, so it's really not even big money. We try to offer you big deals, and then we try to get a big customer base, and that's how we grow and expand. Some of the specials running right now you can see on the screen. How about 50% off Silver Bullet? This colloidal silver is great for all different uses. If you get a sore throat, you can drink some. If you get a stuffy nose or a sinus inflammation, you can put some up your nose. If you get a cut or an abrasion or a blister, you can soak it on that. That is my favorite stuff. Honestly, in all my life of getting blisters and stuff on my foot, I have never had anything better than Silver Bullet. I'll put my whole foot in it. I'm kind of a weirdo. So 50% off Silver Bullet before I buy the rest of it for all my blistered feet. And then you've got BrainForce Plus, 50% off while supplies last. I know that this is selling off the shelves, so you're going to want to take advantage of that before it sells out. How about 50% off Anthroplex, which pairs great with Super Male Vitality, which is also 30% off. So if you get that combo of Super Male Vitality and Anthroplex, I think that's something you're really going to enjoy and end up being a repeat customer. Of course, other specials running on our supplements, 40% off Secret 12, great B12 supplement, 40% off Survival Shield X2. That's a must-have for me. 40% off BioTrue Selenium. And with winter right around the corner, how about 50% off Winter Sun? So instead of trying to take advantage of seasonal markets and make the price higher for vitamin D Winter Sun, we just cut it in half because we want you, the listener, to be able to get access to that and take advantage of these great products. All right, let's go out to the phone lines. Let's go to Richard in North Carolina. Go ahead, Richard.
Hey, Richard.
Conspiracy theories.
What's that, Richard? You're on air. Go ahead.
Hey, I was just wanting to congratulate Candace. I think that what she did shows a great deal of courage and intelligence. I have shared many of her videos with people who are confused and straddling the fence. And I think it's awesome to see a young sister do what she did and is doing. And I wanted to ask both of you. Oh, by the way, Owen, man, you got mad game. I don't know if you played basketball in high school or what, but.
Wait, have we played basketball before or something?
No, man. He's just saying you got the game. Commercial.
That was one take. That was one take.
Well, dude, was it really? So you got
of course,
game,
man.
Dude, I'm impressed. I was really impressed. My son plays ball, so you know you can tell a baller when you see him.
Hey, I like the ball. You know, the ball is round. It doesn't matter what your skin color is or your religious background. It bounces the same for everyone. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I was glad to see Curry say that it would be unproductive to kneel. Yeah.
It's also apparently unproductive to go to the White House. They didn't want to meet Trump either. But we don't need to get into the politics of these sports. You know Richard, is I don't know about you. I'm a sports fan, but it's hard to watch sports anymore when they try to politicize it like they have.
I know. I agree. Totally agree. But look, I was going to ask the two of you, what do you think? Do you think that once they reveal the JFK situation, that I don't know if you guys read what was on the dark web. They were saying that Trump was going to have a national address, where he basically says this was a conspiracy. Well, it was claimed to be a conspiracy. 9/11 was claimed to be a conspiracy. He's just going to go down the line, making it clear to everyone that we've been bamboozled for some time. Do you guys think that it will open the door like that, or do you think Trump will speak to it? What do you think?
What do you think, Candace?
I'm actually not sure. I have no idea what he has planned. I heard Alex say earlier that he thinks most of the documents are going to end up being blacked out. But it's interesting that he brought it at all to the table. So I have no idea what's in store, and I'm interested to see what happens.
Yeah, I kind of have the same fear that once we do get our hands on these documents, they'll be heavily redacted. But if Trump was either able to see them before they were redacted, or maybe he got briefed on what was in there before they were redacted. I've never heard anything about a Trump speech on all of this, though. It would be nice to see that. That would be kind of out of nowhere.
Right.
Right.
We'll see.
Right.
But we're all certainly waiting. I think it comes out on Thursday or something. So we'll be waiting for that. Thank you for the call, Richard. Let's go to Chris in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, thank you guys for letting me on. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. All right, listen, I'm not coming at a negative place, but I would like to ask Candace a question, if it's okay.
Yeah.
All right, so obviously all this is going on with Tria Logic. And I'm not a huge fan of her, so I'm not some shill for Tria.
Yeah.
But what's going on with that? Because, like, you're for liberty, you're for free speech
and
all that.
I'm glad you brought it up. It's good, because that was kind of the drama that was going on in the last 24 hours, and I just didn't address it because I didn't want to give her what she wanted, which was attention and hits on her YouTube page. So I don't know if you know the background story. If not, you should definitely go back, watch all of my interviews.
I do.
Yeah, so I created a splash page, which is all that she is referring to, over a year and a half ago when I was a liberal and a Democrat. And I was really passionate about anti-bullying, not realizing really naively what I was tapping into. And I instantly got red-pilled because I learned about the Gamergate scandal and that these girls were faking their own harassment. I dropped the project entirely and did a complete 180. And here I am today. So I guess her issue is that I didn't kill the splash page.
Will you take down the website?
But do you,
I think that's where people want you to do it. Because
I mean, so here's my thought on that, which, by the way, it expires. It obviously, you only hold the domain. It expires in January. Taking it down instantly was I thought it would look shady. You know, like, why would I be a politician? It's my past. I own it. That's why I'm here today. And I talk about it in every interview. I want people that are liberals that are on the other side to see my story and what happened. So for me to go and try to clean it up and hide it turns me into Hillary Clinton. You know, it'll naturally expire in January. I can pull it down if it makes people more comfortable, but it's just a splash page of a non-functioning. It was never a website. It was an idea and a splash page. So, I own what I did. I have no qualms about it, and I'm really happy you called in and asked about it.
All right. Can I just say something? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, and I appreciate that. And, like, I've seen your videos. I've seen you on different platforms, especially, like, people like Dave Rubin, who's so on free speech.
Yeah.
All right, I appreciate that, but you're basically saying if the project is going to come down.
Oh, no, God, no. Website. Yeah, she said it was coming out in 3 weeks, and, like, she was really crazy. I mean, you obviously can tell she's not very sane if you just look at her Twitter feed. I mean, she's been, like, psychotically saying everybody's lives are in danger and, like, you know, we're all going to die. So I've just been ignoring her, but to that same token is that I want to be very honest about where I come from. I'm not a person that's going to pretend that I was conservative my entire life. That is the only way that we can reach out to people to let them see that there's somebody that I guess, you know, that they can recognize. And I want to remain somebody that liberals can recognize. And I want my story to be out there, and I want to be 100% truthful. I'm not into cleaning up my past to pretend I'm somebody that I'm not.
It is shocking when these people come after you and try to smear your character, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy because I've been so honest from the beginning. I've said, like, I thought Alex Jones was a psycho. I didn't, you know, any of this stuff. I thought Fox News. I thought at a certain point that maybe Trump was racist. So my story is there. I've never tried to lie and be something that I'm not. And now they're like, well, why don't you just go back and erase who you were? And I'm like, that's counterintuitive to everything that we're practicing here.
Oh, wait a second. So you're telling me that you progressed as a person socially and ideology, and then the progressives want to stop that progression?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And conservatives, you have to be careful. Don't become liberals. You know, let's not lie and start hiding our pasts. I don't think that's good.
Of meme magic is real. We had a fairy boy princess protesting Ben Shapiro earlier, saying the Constitution is irrelevant. Oh boy. Now we've got the swamp draining itself. Jeff Flake from Snowflake, Arizona. Some more meme magic. You can't make this up. Jeff Flake from Snowflake, Arizona says he won't run for re-election in 2018. Total loser. And then you've got Trump and Corker feuding again today. Trump slams Corker, says he couldn't be elected dog catcher. Got to love that. So Corker and Flake from Snowflake, Arizona, swamp creatures, they will be drained. Now, I figured it all out, folks. During the break, Candace Owens opened up to me and she exposed herself. She's actually an undercover social justice warrior. She's going undercover. And she's breached us now, and I've decided that resistance is futile. So we're just going to, but those are the same people that told me Hillary was going to win. So maybe I shouldn't trust them after all. Let's go to Robert in Wisconsin. Wants to talk Russian collusion. Go ahead, Robert. You're on the air with Owen Schroyer and Candace Owens. Do you have Robert, guys? All right, Robert. Is this a phone issue or is it just Robert, guys? All right, well, okay, there's Robert, I think. Robert? All right, let's move on. Who's been holding longest here? Let's go ahead and take Ron. Go ahead, Ron, from Georgia.
Hi, Candace. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Ron.
Thank you for coming on the Alex Jones Show.
Thank you. I'm glad you were able to catch it.
I think you're sharp as a tack, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Oh, and I have a plea for you.
Okay.
If you would please encourage Alex to keep the products that you guys sell, even though he gets outside financing. I need these products.
We're not getting rid of the products. In fact, we're going to make more products.
Sounds good to me.
That Hillary Russia flags.
Yeah, we got to make the Hillary Russia flag. We got to steal that idea from Candace.
Go for it. You guys be well.
All right, Ron. Thank you for the call. Very nice call from Ron in Georgia. Let's reach out to Brandon in Arizona. Wait a second. Are you from Snowflake, Arizona?
Yes, sir. Good old Snowflake, Arizona.
Snowflake, Arizona. You and Jeff Flake.
Absolutely. Just wanted to say, Candace, much success.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations on taking the red pill.
I deeply appreciate that.
Owen, much success to your new show as well. I just wanted to say that. And, yeah, I wanted to chat with you a little bit about the good old boy Snowflake Jake. I wanted your guys' opinion. It actually just came out about 2 or 3 hours ago. So what are your thoughts about Sheriff Joe Arpaio still considering the Arizona Senate run? And he said that he actually has met with Bannon twice. I think that would be an exciting thing here in Snowflake, Arizona.
You know, Sheriff Joe is an old man. He's a family man. I'm not sure if he really wants that burden of a Senate run right now. And considering the current political climate, I think that he would have already made some sort of announcement. I haven't heard anything otherwise. I would support him if he did. I just don't like the odds of that happening. What are your thoughts on that, Candace?
You know what? I actually was not following that whatsoever. So I don't like to speak on things I'm not educated about.
Okay, well, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that. So we'll be sure to monitor a potential run from Sheriff Joe. He goes on the Alex Jones Show, so if he does announce something like that, I'm sure he would go on the Jones Show. But considering everything that he's been through in the political climate right now, I would not expect that. Let's go back to Robert in Wisconsin. Robert, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I'm doing well.
So, I got to say, it's pretty crazy with this Russian collusion stuff that's going on. I mean, I don't know why they don't move against Mueller and all of them, you know? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. You
know, well, it is an interesting thing to think about. You wonder, you've got the rat searching for the rat, Mueller.
Right.
But you wonder if maybe the Department of Justice or Trump or somebody has said, hey, look, you're going to go down with this too if you don't flip on the other people that were colluding with Russia.
Right. I mean, I'm surprised Jeff Sessions didn't even move sooner ahead of time, you know? I mean,
well, Jeff Sessions seems to be stuck in mud or he's just not saying what he's doing. I don't really understand Jeff Sessions' approach, and I don't really care if he says nothing as long as we get some action.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah, you're waiting to see if the Russian collusion fully does come back on not just the Democrats, but also Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch, Robert Mueller, Rosenstein, just the whole bunch.
Definitely all of them, for sure. They're all guilty behind it. I mean, you already know it.
I think we're all with you. We are all waiting to see that happen. Absolutely. They're guilty as sin. It's so obvious.
All right, Robert, thank you for the call. Let's go to Chris in Utah. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait, don't you bring up the Vegas shooting. That's already wrapped up. We got Stephen Paddock, period. He did it all on his own. There's no cover-up.
Yeah.
Don't talk about Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. No, go ahead, Chris.
Owen.
Hi.
Owen.
Yes.
It is an honor to talk to you. It's the first time I've got through. This is amazing.
The honor is mine. So what do you got on the Vegas shooting?
Well, I live an hour and a half north of Vegas. So does it hit home close to me? Yeah, some people, they say, oh, it's what a travesty, and it is. But it really felt like it was happened right in my backyard, and so I've been following it closely. I tell you what, there's two angles that we need to look at. Number one, the timeline was changed. That's a fact, correct?
Multiple times.
Multiple times.
Right. So here's how I like to do things. I like to go backwards. In other words, not try and go with a certain direction. Rather, pick what we know and work backwards. We know that the timeline's been changed multiple times.
Which, by the way, the official timeline that's been changed multiple times actually doesn't even make sense. But go ahead.
Number two, we are getting all the footage that we know of from citizen journalism. People are uploading videos on YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. So the security cameras, the security videos are all on lockdown.
Right.
And every time the timeline line changed, the facial expressions of the sheriff, and there's no, not saying anything wrong about it. I'm just saying that the facial expressions, the way and the manner in which they delivered each of their press conferences kept changing. It was almost like you were playing poker with someone and they started losing, and you can tell on their face that they just kept, like, they were losing chips and things were just getting worse, and they didn't like what they were finding. Now, that's what you can see on the video of the press conferences. So the timelines change. They don't release any information after the, what, four days? Let's be honest. Laura Loomer's there. She's there for, what, 4 or 5 days? She gets more information than they're getting out. And then about by Friday, because it happened Sunday night, all of a sudden media moves on back to attacking Trump.
Yeah, and by the way, they still haven't done a press conference since that final press conference over a week ago. And the sheriff obviously was nervous. For what reason, I don't know, but you could clearly tell from his body language something was up. All right, we'll be right back with more. Candace Owens for joining us today. Follow her on Twitter and YouTube at Red Pill Black. And I have a feeling that you'll be hearing more from her on the Alex Jones channel on YouTube, maybe our Facebook, our Twitter, our Periscope tonight. I'll leave that little teaser out there. I do have a stack of news I want to get to, but before we get to that, let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's clear these phone lines up. Let's go to Noah in Louisiana. Go ahead, Noah.
How are you doing?
Good.
Pleasure having y'all answer my call. Just with everything going on, I was just wondering why there is more of a rise up for citizen militias and why people don't get more involved in that, being the government is going.
So he's asking, why don't we see more activity from citizen militias or citizen organizations, if you will? I think the simple answer, honestly, the simple answer to me would be, if you break that down and you say what people would be engaging in such activity, forming citizen militias, okay, it would typically be your conservatives. And the truth of the matter is, we're just too busy. We've got families, we've got jobs, we've got hobbies, we're trying to be productive, and we just don't take the time of day to organize such things like a citizen militia. I thought about starting something similar to that a few years back in St. Louis. And the truth, again, it's a very time-consuming thing. And you hear it's the same reason why conservatives don't protest. We're just too busy.
Right, and I agree with that, definitely. But
so,
I also think there should be more activity, especially with you know, the way things have been going, and obviously the constant struggle from leftists to try get control of government again. I think that the people should, you know, start banding together to form something.
Yeah, no,
like
that's
that.
No. You're onto something there, because the people have taken the government back from the establishment. We've shown our power at the polls. So, yes, what will they do to try to take it back? And then there you go. Rochester LGBTQ gun group prepares for the next American Civil War. So, look, I don't want a civil war. I don't want to go to war with fellow Americans. That's the last thing I want. They want to keep protesting on the street, doing their thing. Fine, whatever. Embarrass yourselves, embarrass our country. As long as I still have America, the flag still flies, and I still have my Bill of Rights, and we're taking power back in the politics, then that's fine. But that's an interesting thing as I read this story. I mean, you have multiple stories of leftists, Trump haters, you know, preparing for civil war, preparing quote unquote militias. I mean, you see their training videos, and one Alex Jones could probably take down an entire leftist militia. But an interesting call from Noah. Let's go to Mike in Connecticut. He wants to talk border wall. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi. Is this Owen?
Yes.
Okay. I just have a couple questions on the border wall. I think that, you know, the budget that Trump proposed isn't really feasible, because I did some calculation on my own. And it seems that, like, the cement itself, because we're talking about a hardened cement border wall. And the cement itself is going to cost probably more than $15 billion.
Well, now, hold on a second, Mike. I believe three of the walls of the prototypes were cement, and then the other three were another substance. They didn't clarify what, but not cement. So just to be clear on that. Now,
Yeah, I get that point. But still, my point is, this wall is still going to cost, like immense amount of money.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like that's something what they claim at first.
So you don't think that Trump can make Mexico pay for the wall?
No, I think he can. But the point is, I feel like this is a huge trouble for the country to go through. Don't you feel that way? Because
Here's the problem, Mike. And I don't know how Trump looks at this, but the calculations have never added up. This country's been running at a deficit as long as I've been alive, 28 years on this earth. Our national debt is $20 trillion. Of course, nobody asks, who are we in debt to? Nobody seems to want to ask that question. So I'm not sure if Trump takes that into consideration. I'm not sure what Trump really takes into consideration when he talks about trying to make a budget. But he is bringing more money back in to the country. So I'm not sure what that will mean as far as deficit is concerned, if there's some way to start to mitigate some of the deficit with some of this money that's being brought in from overseas. What was that, guys? So I don't know. I think that if Trump wants to, he can make Mexico pay for the wall easily, simply because he can cut off their foreign aid. And that would be billions of dollars right there. What are your thoughts on that, Mike?
Well, I think that's certainly true. But, you know, I think border war already extends beyond the problem of just the budget. It also, like, if you draw, like, a clear line border between Mexico and USA, and if you look at the fence that we already have right now, the bigger problem is that these fence, like, potentially cut through, like, some of the owner's land. They literally just divide, like, the owner's land. So, like, I don't feel like that's a particularly good way to treat some of the Texas, like, citizens.
Well, you know, I've never been a big fan of the wall anyway. I'd assume we could have other technologies that can be just as effective potentially as a wall. But when you hear from the Border Control, they say they want the wall. And Looks like they're going to get the wall. So
Border Patrol would do the job, though, because Border Patrol are pretty effective.
But Border Patrol saying they want the wall, and if and they're the ones that patrol the border, so they're the ones that will know. But that's why they're looking at all these prototypes to see what will be the most effective. Thank you for the call, Mike. Let's go to Dan in Canada. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, Owen. How you doing, brother?
Hey, good.
I got you on YouTube. I got a little slag. You're a little behind, and I'm on the phone. I'm a little ahead. I got a question for
no,
you.
No, I live in the future, Dan. Go ahead.
Anyways, yeah, I'm up here in Nova Scotia, Canada, and the question I had was, it's kind of off the subject, but what do you think would happen if, say, North Korea set off like an EMP in the States? Do you think it would, would it affect me up here in, like, Nova Scotia, Canada?
Well, I mean, that's a pretty loaded question. Obviously, there's a lot of factors that go into that. I don't think North Korea could get an EMP over the United States. I would assume that our defense system is going to be more sophisticated than to allow something like that to happen. However, Russia says that they have a new missile that can beat any defense system in existence. Now, I don't think Russia is going to share that with North Korea. But here's the thing. If you look historically, though, Dan, if you consider history here, unfortunately, and it does look like, unfortunately, it looks like we're going to war. I hate to admit that. I thought Trump would keep us out of war, but it just doesn't look good.
It's not looking that good, but yeah.
No. But here's the thing. Historically, what happens before wars is people have to die in America for us to end up going to war. This is why they allow things like the Gulf of Tonkin to get out, fake news, or they allow Pearl Harbor strike, even though they knew it was going to happen, or they allow a 9/11. So this is how they work, or maybe allow a Vegas massacre, you know? So it's, this is the convoluted world in which we live in, where the military industrial complex that makes trillions of dollars off war will do anything, essentially to get us to war, even if that means letting Americans die.
Exactly. And the thing I was thinking about when you were just talking right now was, I was thinking about the massacre down there in Vegas, right? And, man, I've been watching, like, Alex Jones for probably 15 years. And, man, I'll tell you, that thing was, like, what did Alex say? Stinks to the bottom, from the bottom down.
Stinks to the high heavens?
Stinks to the high heavens.
Well, here's the deal, Dan. Here's the deal. Thank you for the call. They're not getting away with this. Nobody's buying it. Even people that want to stay away from conspiracy theories like the plague are not buying the official Vegas narrative. So what is this doing? This is red-pilling a lot of Americans because they realize now, oh my gosh, the government really does cover up mass murder. Final segment on the other side. Well, this is just terrible. The stock market has just made history again. The S&P 500 broke its previous record of the number of days without a 3% drawdown. The Dow continues to climb over 23,000. I think it's at like 23,500 now. I don't invest in the stock market, and everything that goes up must come down. But it is a sign of the resurgence of the American economy and consumer confidence, and just the people on Wall Street throwing money around, I guess, because they have that much confidence in the American economy now. Dow jumps ahead 171 points, hits record high after Caterpillar and 3M beat the street. Caterpillar and 3M. Pretty sure both of those companies are still based in the United States. How do you like that? So you got to like that. American companies seeing resurgence and more jobs coming here. And then this is what it all totals to. Nearly 1.5 million fewer Americans on food stamps under Trump. So we reached record highs of people on food stamps under Obama. It was a new record. The most people ever on food stamps, including full governmental assistance. That was record high under Obama. Now it's record low under Trump. I think what they'll try to do as these numbers continue to come out is they'll try to say, this is Trump cutting welfare. This is Trump not giving money to those who need it. Well, that's not the government's job, but really this is Trump creating jobs and returning a stimulating economy to America. That's really what this is. Here was a strange one. Pentagon advocates requiring women to sign up for military draft. Why are they even talking about the draft, folks? Think about that. Currently, only male citizens and residents aged 18 to 25 are required to register, which is about 2 million people each year. Now they're saying they want to get the women to register for the draft, too. Where are the liberals going to be on this? They're going to have a tough time because at the same time, they want equality for women. However, they don't want the draft. But if men have to get drafted, then shouldn't women, too? The liberals are going to have a real tough time figuring out where they stand on this one. They're probably going to have their heads explode. U.S. now to allow refugees from all countries, but with new rules. So the 120-day ban is over. The travel ban is up. And now under the new rules via the Trump administration, you are seeing refugees return. But it's funny because the videos we're being shown are definitely not of refugees. So I guess those are just people that have been waiting out the travel ban that are now here. So there's just an update on that. AP covers up honor and Muslim-related aspects of Cleveland murder. I remember hearing about this story, but then Pamela Geller and others broke this. This is really horrifying. So a Muslim father tells his 27-year-old daughter she's not allowed to date anyone that's not a Muslim. Turns out she was dating someone that wasn't a Muslim, and he found out and killed her. So there's your tolerant religion of Islam. There's the Muslim religion that they want to get here so fast, Linda Sarsour Cockroach and the rest of them. Dad murders his daughter because she didn't date a Muslim man. Wow. All kinds of different angles that you can go down with that one, folks. Saudi Arabia will return to moderate Islam and will destroy extremist ideas. Oh, like killing your daughter because she didn't date a Muslim? Would that be considered moderate Islam or extreme Islam? This is going to be interesting. Has Saudi Arabia ever made a statement like this before Trump visited? I'm asking the question. I'm not sitting here trying to glorify Trump on this. I'm just saying, is this something that is coming from Trump visiting them? I mean, they're saying they're now going to let women drive. Now they're saying they're going to have moderate Islam. What is going on in Saudi Arabia? What is spurring this? Now, this might have something to do with it. And a lot of people don't understand the history here. And it's a very long history. Saudi Arabia just announced plans to build this mega city that will cost $500 billion. Now, folks, if you're not aware of this, before the American economic hitmen came in to Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabia was a desert where literally, I'm not exaggerating, the goats ate their trash. They had no system for trash except the goats would eat the trash. That's where Saudi Arabia was about 30 years ago. Then they made deals with American contractors, and look at where Saudi Arabia is now, rich, some of the most unbelievable cities, and now building another city worth $500 billion. And this is what they were able to do with the open desert space and then the American contractors coming in. So the history between Saudi Arabia and the United States is honestly very, very complex and convoluted. But I'm wondering if Trump is trying to steer some of this history in the right direction, making Saudi Arabia become, well, let's just say fair to women. And if they're going to continue to build these cities, folks, you need to realize that it was deals made by American people in contracting companies, and they were known as economic hitmen, that basically built Saudi Arabia. And so everything that's transpired since then has just made it more confusing. So it's just weird what's coming out of Saudi Arabia. New Zealand homes not for sale to foreigners under new PM. Well, that is an extreme right-wing tactic. Why would they want to do that? Maybe it's because ISIS is on the run and they want to protect their country. Russia to test new missile that can beat any defense system in existence. Actually, I believe Russia also just said they have a new submarine that's undetectable too. So all these guys doing war games, talking about their new missiles. Here's a story that you just hate to cover. You don't even want to talk about this. Terror from skies as Mexican cartel attaches bomb to drone. Oh, man. I hope I don't have to start reporting on drone bombings. That will be seriously depressing. Speaking of depressing, Tampa area on edge after three killings, serial killer fears. So you've got a serial killer in Tampa Bay right now. And basically, parents are now walking their kids everywhere to and from the bus for school. Police are on edge. You know, I've seen a lot of stories about how police are now out and about in force, protecting kids even more than normal because of this serial killer. It's not the ACLU, though. Notice that. It's not the ACLU stepping up in Tampa Bay with a serial killer on the loose. No. It's the brave men in blue. That's right, the heroes that the ACLU hates so much. Think what you want about this. Latest statistics from the Census Bureau. 45% of California households don't speak English. 36% in Texas, 35% in New Mexico, 32% in New Jersey, and 31% in New York. So what do you make of that? Is that a problem? Is that not a problem? I grew up, actually, my neighbors spoke Spanish because they were immigrants from Spain, and they did teach their kids how to speak Spanish, and they did speak Spanish in their home. But that was very rare. That was when I was a kid. So you're talking like 20 years ago. I wonder what the stats were 20 years ago compared to what they are now. That's the new census that needs to come out. What was the percentage of homes that don't speak English in California 20 years ago? I have no problem if you want to speak Spanish in your home. The problem is when you don't learn English and then you force, instead of the immigrants to assimilate with America, now America has to assimilate with the immigrants, and that's what the liberals want. Senators push bill requiring warrant for U.S. data under spy law. So now all of the illegal spying, that's right, that they said we were conspiracy theories about, the secret NSA programs, all of it, Vault 7 with the CIA, that's right, we reported it first at Infowars.com. Now they're pushing a bill to actually force the government to get a warrant before they want to spy on you. Hey, we were all duped by one of the greatest short-term publicity stunts in the history of rock and roll. Kid Rock is not running for Senate. So we'll see how that affects his fan base in the long run. But for a short-term marketing campaign, I got to give Kid Rock credit. He fooled all of us. Folks, you stay classy, Info Warriors. Always stay tuned to the Alex Jones Channel on YouTube and Infowars.com. And support us at InfowarsStore.com.